Hi, everybody. This is Marty Lunn from Zayo and Young Fox, and you're listening to my chapter of As the Story Grows.
What would you say
you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Being realistic.
As the story grows.
You got this, Travis. Make them wait for it.
Marty, what's going on?
Well, not a whole lot, man. Apparently in the other room with the TV on, there's something going on with voting or something's, I'm not really sure. There's somebody's being voted for something.
I heard one of the soccer moms in line in front of me was like, I was on Facebook and somebody posted this thing that said, America is in labor and we're going to find out tonight if it's a boy or a girl. That is so funny. And I pushed her into oncoming traffic.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, there had to be some violence, unfortunately ensue after.
I rolled my eyes so far up into my head that I bet they disappeared up top and came up around the bottom again. I think I did a full loop.
Wow. Okay.
Which really hurt, actually. Gave me a headache.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Anyway, Marty, welcome back to the next chapter of As the Story Grows. My name's Trav. We got Marty Lunn from Zayo, and we're going to talk a little bit about Zayo, and we're going to focus on his new band, Young Fox, has an album coming out like any day now, right?
Well, actually, funny you should say that. I just got an email tonight from the lovely John Frazier, who is the All Everything of Spartan Records out of Seattle, who's actually putting the record out. And we've actually decided to push it back to around the middle of January, simply because of the amount of work that we have to do before then as far as a social media ramp up and, kind of a not a redesign of our website, but basically all of the new artwork going up. And we actually still have some, like the back of the artwork, the back of what the LP would be, we're working on currently. So just as far as with the, with Thanksgiving coming up and, it's just not really feasible for us to do it middle of December. So we're actually going to push it back to middle of January.
Okay.
And that, the nice thing about that is that will also allow us to, do the digital release and the, vinyl release all at the same time, whereas the plan was to put the digital release it digitally in the middle of December and then have the vinyl come out middle of January. But now we'll actually end up doing both.
Gotcha.
So
does it have did that have anything to do with Zayo coming out on December 9th?
You know what? It didn't. They were very independent of each other. Simply because Zayo has decided, we have decided to do a kind of our own label called Observed Observer.
Yeah.
And awesome. We're going to, so that whole process we're very much undertaking ourselves. And I can't even honestly take a lot of the credit for that. That is Jeff and Scott have really, really been running with that and have done a tremendous job with just everything that goes along with it. You know, I mean, they're basically doing all of really the grunt work for it. Mm-hmm. And it's actually so far has been a really great experience for us. And, you know, it's one of those things where we're all kind of looking at each other saying, why didn't we do this 10 years ago? Right. But yeah, so far it's going really, really well. The pre-sales have been up for a few weeks now, and that's going really, really well.
You guys are killing it.
We have no qualms about that right now. But as far as the Young Fox album, it was supposed to come out a while back, and we had it seemed like every single step of the process has taken longer than it should have for a variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. But, whether it was the recording itself, we had to do some re-recording, mastering, that kind of stuff. There was just some setbacks, and then artwork has kind of been more of a challenge than what we would have hoped. But the bottom line is all of those things usually come together at the end, and that's kind of what's happening now. So now it's just kind of a question of, what is our actual date going to be? And as right. of the email that I got this afternoon, actually, it appears that the middle of January is what we're shooting for. So
right on, man. December, Zayo album coming out. January, Young Fox album coming out.
Yeah, it's a lot of stuff.
You're a busy guy.
Yeah, a little bit.
And you're also like, not to like name drop or anything, but when myself and Seth from Skull Toaster and Jeremiah from Metal Bandcamp Gift Club and our buddy Jacob met us out there and everything, when we rolled out there in March in Pittsburgh to go see you guys, we all kind of rambled back to your house to hang out, and I believe it was there you were telling me that you and your lady friend, special lady friend, are in a vintage furniture business together or something like that.
More or less. Yeah. You're most of the way there.
Get me the rest of the way there. I know you can do it.
Okay. I grew up with an antique collector. My dad, that's what he loved doing that. And it was something that he and my mom both really liked doing together. And so the house that I grew up in was basically always furnished with antiques. But it wasn't like a museum. It was more like, it was used. It was things that we used. You know, if we had an antique chair, we sat on it, you know.
Right.
It was just they liked that aesthetic. So I grew up going to estate sales and auctions and garage sales and that kind of thing. We started doing the same thing, except that Nicole is a designer. She's got a really good eye for design, and her vibe is more of a mid-century modern, geometric, the nice lines of the furniture from the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. So we started specifically going out looking for that kind of stuff. And it has kind of turned into a little thing where we do a few events in Pittsburgh each year.
Oh, cool.
To sell the stuff that, you know, we can't keep it all. So we, we keep the stuff that we really like, and that's how we furnish our place. And then, we sell what we don't want.
Is it like you guys don't have a storefront? Is it more of like a flea market or an auction place, or?
We don't. We've sold a couple of things on Etsy.
Okay.
But that's more of a wintertime thing. Like usually during the other three seasons of the year, there's not really a lot of time to do that. So we'll probably be getting back into that a little bit this winter. But we mainly do two events each year, one in the spring and one in the fall in Pittsburgh, called the Pittsburgh Vintage Mixer. And the next one actually is the 19th of this month. So we're kind of gearing up for that right now.
Nice.
Yeah. It's like a fun thing that we can do. And, you make a couple of bucks here and there. It's nothing crazy, but it's more just for the love of that stuff. It's furniture and, decorative stuff and it's the old adage that they don't make them like they used to. And that's right. Pretty much is across the board for all the stuff that we buy. It's far higher quality than anything you can get at IKEA, you know. Yeah. So
that's pretty low standards. Just about every, I mean, I don't even.
Yeah, that's about as low as you can get. Yeah.
Pressed particle board.
So, right. Actually, it's kind of crazy because IKEA back in the day, IKEA back in the 50s and 60s actually had some fantastic stuff, and it was made out of real wood. And, you know, you couldn't put it together with, you know, Legos and things like that like you can now. Right. Yeah, some of the old IKEA stuff is actually a little bit valuable and sought after.
But did they have breakfast for 99 cents?
Probably not. Actually, it was probably breakfast for, you know, 15 cents back then. But
right, right. So what do you do? So this is interesting to me. We're going to go down this rabbit hole a little bit because we can talk bands all night. And you're my final piece for my entire Zayo collection. I feel like I'm putting Hummel figurines up on my mantle over my fireplace, and I just needed a Marty to complete my collection. So,
Well, everybody needs a Marty to complete their collection.
Just a little Marty, right?
Yeah, right, right.
But what do you do? I know you told me this before, but I want to hear you say it again because you're going to describe it better than me. What is it that you do here? What do you do for a living?
What do I do for a living? I am a draftsman for a company that used to be a piece of Westinghouse Electrical. And when Westinghouse went to all nuclear, which is pretty much all they do now is nuclear power, they sold off all of their electrical.
You said nuclear, not nuclear, right?
Nuclear.
Got it. Just clearing that up. Right. Clearing that up for some people.
Like, yeah, the stuff that makes you glow in the dark, you know, all that good stuff.
Right.
So that, yeah, they sold off all of their electrical end of it to basically as old technology. But the issue is that it's still the technology that we use. So several companies bought up those pieces, and the company that I worked for was one of those companies. So I am a draftsman for that company. I do 3D drafting of electrical parts. So that is my real world day job when I'm not, you know, doing podcasts.
I don't know if that sounds super interesting or super boring. Why don't you enlighten us?
Well, it's a little bit of both. If it was only the drawing part to it. I do enjoy that, but there's obviously a lot more that comes with the job. So, you know, I could take or leave that stuff, but the drawing aspect of it does allow for a little bit of creativity, not much, but you know, a little bit of, to where I can add my own thing to it. So,
right on. That's cool. That's cool.
Yeah, all
right,
don't ask me how I got there, but that's what I do.
I won't. Okay, I won't then.
that's what a Christian education degree will get you.
So. Draftsman for an electrical.
Exactly, right. So.
oh boy, ba-dum-boosh. So we can go down that path a little bit. Now I know everybody who listens to this show probably listens to Bills, and they probably heard you on Urban Achiever, and you did a double on that one when you guys were. Apparently, you guys were high as you were going through that tunnel. That's what it sounded like, anyway. But
I guess it was just the absurdity of the situation.
Yeah.
You know, there was like, why would there be traffic leaving New York City on a Saturday night? That just didn't. That blew both of our minds. Like, what? How? You know, generally people would want to come into the city because that's where everything is happening.
Sure.
So
yeah, I heard there was a Zayo show that night. Maybe
yeah, apparently, you know, like they were running away from the Zayo show. Maybe that would have been it,
fleeing from it. But so anyway, everybody probably heard that. So I don't want to trample on a lot of what you two talked about. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to put links in the show notes so you can go listen to that if anybody really wants to listen to three podcasts about Martin Lund. That's a whole lot of Marty. But
I will say a small prayer for all who do that because that's just not right.
But I do know for a fact that as Zayo was driving from Canada to New York, the day of the recording with you and Bill, I was with you guys and we were heading to Webster Hall.
Yes, that's correct.
And it was my turn to drive because
between
Jeff and Marty, you guys drive like 28 hours a day. It looks like. And, it was my turn to let everybody kind of nap and rest up for the show and everything. And you sat up front with me and you and I got to know each other. We had a nice long talk and, you told me some interesting tidbits about kind of your induction into Zayo, and I wanted to talk a little bit about that. I don't remember a lot of the gory details talking on Bill's podcast. I'm trying to like tiptoe through that minefield and not repeat ourselves. But
yeah,
I'm interested in what you said about when Zayo went without a bass player for a while.
Okay,
you had a very interesting outlook on it, and I thought, wow, I don't think people know that, and I don't think you discussed that with Bill. So can you kind of aim?
I don't remember. We'll go there anyway. And if it's doubled up, then it's doubled up.
Whatever.
Basically, what it ended up happening is I was in a band with Brett Detter,
right?
Called Pensive. So when I left for Bible College, that left the other guys kind of, okay, what are we going to do? The band's kind of on hiatus. And at exactly the same time, that's when everybody quit Zayo except for Jesse. So Jesse immediately recruited Brett because we were all good friends and had all been playing lots of shows together. We were all like, it was, Pensive, Zayo, and Seasons in the Field, which was, Russ and Dan and Steve Peck's band at the time.
Mm-hmm.
All three of those guys ended up in Zayo. And so essentially, it was, you know, Jesse recruited Brett, and then Brett recruited Dan and Russ, who were scheduled at the time to go to a different Bible college, I think Elam in New York. And they decided not to go and to join Zayo instead. And it came down to where they, you know, it was the four of them, but there was no bass player. And Brett kind of knew what Bible college meant to me. So he never officially asked me this, but he told me this maybe, you know, sometime later, that the idea was for me to be the bass player. But you know, he, like I said, he knew what going to that college meant and how I had come to go there. And so that was never brought up, and they just decided to, hey, let's see what happens if we do this without a bass player. And it kind of became their thing, you know, their shtick. And people actually seemed to really dig it. It was just a different thing, you know, with two guitar players and no bass player. And, it kind of, to me, it kind of added an edge to it. You know, it made it more, this is going to sound cheesy, but it kind of made it like almost more dangerous. You know, it was like against the rules that you like, okay, we have this band, but like it's an incomplete band.
Right.
And it just somehow it just made it cooler. So, you know, I've always looked at it as, you know, that's how it was supposed to go. You know, because maybe that was just one small thing that added to people really liking the band and actually contributed to it being what it is. Because that record, the Where Blood and Fire Bring Rest record, and those, the tours that they did around that, those four guys, you know, that really, really took Zayo in a different direction and opened it up to a lot more people.
So you were
yeah.
you were pretty much almost the bass player for that, and would have been hadn't it been for Bible school.
More or less, yeah. I mean, that's the way that it was explained to me. You know, like I said, at the time I knew nothing about that. But I do remember when I was at college, I guess it would have been my first semester there or second. I'm not sure of how the timing was. But while I was in the first or second semester was when the guys were down in Little Rock recording Where Blood and Fire Bring Rest.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember getting a cassette tape. For those of you who are old enough to remember cassette tapes, I got a cassette tape in the mail from Brett with Where Blood and Fire Bring Rest on one side, just, you know, basically like right off of the board. It wasn't out, the record wasn't out or anything yet. And on the other side was a demo of the very first I guess it was three or four songs from the Juliana Theory on one side and Where Blood and Fire Bring Rest on the other side.
That cassette tape's probably worth something on eBay nowadays.
Oh, I don't know, man. Well, actually, it's funny you should say that because I think I really, first of all, I don't have a functioning tape player, so I guess I need to work on that first. But on that tape, and I have to go back and listen to it, but I swear I remember this as being the case. There's an extra track that is unreleased that did not come out on Where Blood and Fire Bring Rest. And if that is the case, then I would love for us to actually do some kind of like just a 7-inch or something like that of it and put it out at some point, just because I know people would have an interest in that, you know, something like that. But the studio that those records were recorded at and the early Juliana Theory stuff, there was something going on with the Pro Tools setup that he had down there, because it was a very early version of Pro Tools when they were recording those records. And I know when the Juliana Theory went back and they wanted to do a remaster of one of the first two albums, I'm not sure if it was Emotion Is Dead or Understand This Is a Dream, they wanted to actually do some kind of a remix and put that record out again. And they weren't able to because those old files had somehow either been erased or misplaced or something like that from that studio. Okay. So if that's the case with all of those records, then, you know, we might have something on this tape that only exists there. So who knows, but I'll do some research. For your listeners, I'll do some research and see what I got.
I have a cassette deck, so why don't you gather these tapes up and lick a stamp and mail them to me. I will convert them to MP3. I will mail you the tapes back, and then I will send you the files, and you guys can make some decisions, because I'm here to help.
Wow, how about that?
Yeah.
Nice.
I need to get on that, because I have some cassette tapes laying around the room. Wouldn't it be awesome to have that in my iPad or in my iPod? And I just never got around to doing it yet. I have I'm looking at it now. I can see it. I have a Primus bootleg that I have on cassette that I've always loved, and I haven't listened to it since. I can't remember the last time I listened to it because it's only on cassette. Oh, I have them covering Thieves from Ministry.
Oh man!
Yeah, I should convert that over. I should get off my ass and do that.
Yeah, I have, I think it's in a cedar chest at my mom's house. I have this giant, that's basically where all of my cassette tapes ended up. Uh-huh. So I'll need to go raid that cedar chest, and I'm sure there's some magical stuff in there, because I don't know how it ended up like this. Maybe it was just the tour manager thing, but this was even before the tour manager thing. Like, I ended up being the collector. You know, if there was anything left in the vans at the end of tour, if there was anything like that we, you know, had collected or anything like that, it ended up at my house. So like all of that stuff, like old t-shirts, you know, old demo tapes of bands, you know, it's all there. So
you're like the band junk drawer.
I guess, yeah. I mean, you may have to just come out to Pittsburgh and we'll go through it and have a laugh and maybe get some of it out there.
I could do that. I would love to come out to Pittsburgh, specifically because the Flyers, my team, are playing the Penguins, you guys' team, outside in Pittsburgh this year. You guys have the Stanley Cup, flaking
winter, it's called. Winter Classic.
Winter Classic, which the Flyers have lost twice so far. So I don't hold a lot of hope for the third one, but it would be rad to see.
Well, my memory of the Winter Classic is that the Penguins did the first one.
Yep.
Classic, and it was awesome. And then the second one, we were real excited about it. Like, yeah, this is great outside again. And that is the game that Sidney Crosby got his horrendous concussion him out for basically a year and a half.
Yep.
Not out. So my relationship with the Winter Classic is a very bitter one because of that, because, you know, it's one of those shoulda, coulda, woulda things.
Fair enough.
You know, the greatest Penguin of all time, we will say shoulda, coulda, woulda about forever, because if Mario's healthy for every game for his entire career, who knows?
Stupid Hodgkin's lymphoma.
You know, I mean, it's stupid, you know?
It is stupid. I can't help but admit that when Crosby went down, there was much rejoicing in Philadelphia.
But, oh, listen, I know.
But he went down so hard that after a while it was kind of like, oh, man. Like, we didn't want him to get hurt that bad. We just want to see him cry again. But not, that did really tune him up, man. And you don't want to see anybody that skilled out for that long. But yeah, I hate Sidney Crosby.
Well, yeah. And obviously, I want nothing good to happen to the Flyers.
Fair enough.
Yeah, Mike Weiss from Me Without You and I talk about this all the time. Like,
oh, really?
he is the Philadelphia sports apologist, and I am the Pittsburgh sports apologist. So we obviously, you know, we take shots. But I told him with the Flyers, I mean, I do obviously despise the Flyers with everything that's within me, but I am in a fantasy hockey league this year.
Oh, really?
And on that fantasy hockey team is a man named Wayne Simmonds, who is doing quite well for himself this year so far.
Oh, boy.
And I also have your goon on defense. That would be Radko Gudas, I believe, something like that. Yeah, he's basically the guy that just, like, punches everybody out and gets suspended and all that stuff. But he's good for fantasy hockey in that way.
Right on. Okay. Fantasy hockey. I did not see the conversation going to fantasy hockey.
I mean, listen, we can take it anywhere you want it to go, you know?
No, it doesn't matter, man. I don't care. I try not to go sports on this show because I'm not really paying attention as closely as I used to. But yeah, I miss it. I miss sitting around watching hockey games. I should do it more often.
Yeah.
I just can't park my ass in front of the TV, Marty. I'm busy, dude. I'm like, you know, doing so many things that I just can't justify. I used to spend Sunday watching the early game, middle game, and then falling asleep halfway through the late game and eating in between every game. And I just can't pull it off anymore, man. Got too much
to do. Well, yeah, I watch the Steelers as far as football, and that's about it anymore. You know, a few years back, I was watching all kinds of games, but again, it's time, you know, way too much going on to devote that much time to it.
You know what helps not watch football for the past 2 years? I'm a Niners fan.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good.
Man, you'll launch your TV through the front window.
Jeez. Right.
That is frustrating. Anyway, let's get off of that. I'll just get sad and start crying.
No, hey. You pick a direction and we go that direction.
Anyway, so yeah, let's talk about Young Fox. I want to focus on that because everybody knows Zayo. Everybody loves Zayo. This is the dude that plays bass in Zayo, blah, 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 blah. He's in another band, and he plays guitar in this band. And I think, don't Young Fox and Zayo share the van?
Yes.
It's like technically Young Fox's van that we were in, right?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for Zayo to have anything simply because we're only doing weekend stuff.
Right. Half of them are flyouts, so what would you need a van for?
Right. So it made a lot of sense to share, whereas Young Fox is kind of trying to build up a following by doing, you know, basically, if we do a weekend, we try and go, you know, as far away as we can and do a couple of shows and still be able to get back for work the next day. You know?
Yeah, I remember those days. You just wrapped me up from 98 to 2003 or whatever.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we're at. And we, you know, with us having the jobs that we have, you know, we're not able to do as much as we would all like to do. But the idea was, let's get this album out so that people actually have something to listen to and something to hold on to. And let's give them a reason to come and check us out. So we're all very excited about the record. It's something that we worked on a long time that we put a lot of thought into. And you know, we put out a 5-song digital EP in 2014, just to kind of like let people know, hey, this is what kind of what we sound like. This is what we're shooting for.
And what's that called?
That's called Predecessors.
That's the one with like, it's like outer space and there's like an old man with a beard on the cover, right?
Yes, correct.
Right.
Yeah, it was 5 songs that had been hanging around for a while. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where the Predecessors thing came from. Just to, you know, like I said, to let people know like, okay, this is what we're shooting for. And with this new one, it's actually gone a little bit darker, sound wise. My lovely lady bought me a baritone guitar, for my last birthday, and we were able to make use of that in a lot of the songwriting. So it's got a good vibe to it, I think. It's really, the idea was there are a lot of bands from the early 90s that I was a huge fan of that never really got the credit that I thought that they deserved, that never got the following that, you know, that didn't blow up. Bands like Quicksand, Failure,
okay.
Sunny Day, you know, the kind of bands that, I mean, yeah, they had some success,
yeah.
And they've got a lot of fans, but you know, in a perfect world, they would have been the biggest bands in the world.
Sure.
Instead of, you know, some of the crap that we've gotten. So I wanted to take as much as I could from those bands, you know, from what I, you know, what I got out of those bands and kind of mash it all together and add a spin on it of the other 3 guys in the band are all much younger than I. And so their listening tastes are completely different than mine. And so they're able to add their own, you know, I guess, what would I say? Freshen up that sound.
Okay.
And those, you know, myself and then those 3 guys kind of smashing together, I think makes something that's actually new.
How did this come to be?
Well, I mean, it was an idea that I had for a while as far as wanting to do that kind of band.
Okay.
And it was just more or less, okay, who am I going to get to do this with? And I went and checked out a band called You the Symphony in Pittsburgh. They had put a couple of EPs out, I believe. And I went to check them out at a venue in Pittsburgh, and I was like, yeah, no, these guys, they've got some talent. The singer's very good. The drummer's very good. I mean, they're all very good, but those are kind of the things that stuck out. And I guess shortly after that, the band broke up. And I was checking out a church in Pittsburgh and just randomly was there. And 2 of the guys that were on stage playing the worship music was actually the drummer from that band and the singer from that band playing bass.
Okay.
And I thought to myself, like, well, I also didn't know if these dudes were, you know, decent dudes, you know, where their hearts were at, that kind of thing. And when I saw them both on stage in church playing worship music, I thought to myself, you know what? I probably have a lot in common with these guys. Mm-hmm. And so we went out for a beer, and I discussed this with them, and shortly thereafter, we started playing together. So, yeah, it's really interesting because the funniest part about it is that Sunday that I checked them out was the only time that they played together at that church ever.
Really?
Like, it just so happened that I guess the normal bass player or whatever couldn't make it that day.
Okay.
And so Chris, our drummer, asked, his, you know, his singer Luke from his band, hey, you know, can you play bass just for this Sunday, you know, just fumble through it or whatever. But it was just, you know, it was kind of like a stars aligning situation where, you know, we joke about that often, but it was kind of divinely meant to be that we play together.
And you guys are playing out often enough that you're like you're doing the whole Weekend Warrior. You guys have a van, play out. Like I didn't know. I would think, you know, Zayo is going to overshadow all this and everything. So it was kind of interesting to hear all this, that everybody has a side project. Yeah, I just record. I'm in this huge band, and I also do this thing with this other guy, or I record everything. This is like a fully functional band that actually plays out a little bit more often than Zayo does, because you guys are smaller and doing local to more regional around Pittsburgh stuff, right?
Right. But the trick is, with Young Fox, we've actually kind of taken a little bit of a break from playing live, mainly because of the record situation.
Okay.
We kind of cut off shows maybe 2 months ago now, just to actually work on getting the album out. Because the idea is, you know, when we play shows from here on out, we want to actually have records to put in people's hands. We want them to listen to them, and we want them to tell their friends and come back to the shows.
Sure.
You know, because we've kind of been playing shows on that EP for a while now. And we just kind of wanted to, you know, freshen up the set more or less, like, you know, take some of the other tracks off of the album and, you know, kind of relearn them and get ready to play them. So that's kind of the stage that we're at now. We're in the prepping stage to start playing again. And then, you know, right before the record comes out, we will start going gangbusters with shows and, hopefully come to a town near you, whoever, wherever you are listening from.
So the Young Fox is getting ready to strike.
That's right.
That's so dumb. I started.
That's maybe the worst thing you've ever said. And you just lost the ability to speak from here on out. I'll just continue with myself.
I lost what little shred of respect I had with you to begin with. So.
Yeah. It's gone.
If it makes if it makes you feel any better, I sent a douche chill down my own back as I said that, because I knew how bad that was going to sound.
Wow,
so, I'm self-aware. I'm learning. I'm a learning robot. I'm figuring this out.
Good deal. Cool, man. Speaking of that, are you watching Westworld?
No, I keep hearing. I feel like, okay, straight up, I don't have cable, but okay. I do have an Amazon Fire Stick that may or may not be jailbroken. I'm not going to go into those details. So my wife binges Jimmy Fallon. She's a mad crush on Jimmy Fallon. So she watches The Late Show. And I feel like every other guest is from that show. It's funny you mentioned that.
Okay.
Is it good?
It is. It's great.
It's like let me see if I remember this correctly. The way the guy explained it was like, it's almost like set in the Wild West, but it's almost set up to be like,
well, more or less it's a Michael Crichton creation. And essentially he made a screenplay of this. He didn't make a book of this, and then made a film of it in the 70s that he actually directed himself.
Okay.
And you know, I guess it did okay. And then they, you know, they tried like some sequel stuff later, and it was just absolutely terrible, and it just kind of went away. And then he actually kind of stole his own idea for Jurassic Park.
Okay.
And just kind of replaced robots with dinosaurs. So that's the gist of it. But yeah, you should watch that. It's pretty good. We're six episodes in.
I'm on the fourth episode of the first season of Game of Thrones. So I'll be behind you.
Wait, your fourth episode of the first season?
Of a 7-season show. I'm just getting into Game of Thrones now.
Wow.
Dude, I just don't care. I'll get there when I get there. There's too much TV. Everybody is like, there's an amazing thing that's been on for 4 years that you haven't caught. And I just feel like I'm already so far behind, I don't care. You know?
But how do you get to have a pop culture podcast if you're not plugged in?
It's a lot of work, and I depend heavily on getting cool guests. So,
okay. Yeah. It's been a long time since I was able to just, you know, bust on you for fun. And
it's fine. That's fine.
I miss it.
You can call me anytime and make fun of me. I other members of your band do that. So
I'm perfectly sure that they do.
it's totally fine. Speaking of that, let's get into something else that I know you and I wanted to discuss. I think some people would be interested in hearing what you have to say. And this is kind of a big question. We try to keep it loose and talk about how awful Sidney Crosby is as a person and all that kind of stuff. But
sure, right.
But yeah, it's the worst. But I'd be interested in hearing what your perspective is on being a Christian in Zao that was Christian, that is now making a declaration of no longer being Christian. Kind of puts you in a weird spot. Not a bad spot, not a good spot. This isn't like, you know, this isn't a right or wrong conversation, but I just think you are in a very unique position to kind of have a different perspective from the other members of the band. Would you care to go into that?
Sure. Well, it has to start with the fact that each member of Zao, probably actually minus Jeff, just because he was into different stuff at the time.
Okay.
But everybody else was legitimately a fan of Zao.
Okay.
The very first time that we brought Zao up to Greensburg, to our hometown, we set up a show at our big club in Greensburg, and it was Zao, Pensive, Seasons in the Field, and a couple of other local hardcore bands. And it was this club, actually, you know, you were allowed to do sound checks. So, you know, Seasons does their sound check, and Pensive, we do ours. And, you know, these guys are from out of town. They're from West Virginia. So we're trying to, you know, we're trying to make an impression on them, you know, and like we do our sound check and we're like, yeah, you know, we absolutely killed it. And then Zao got up and did their sound check and just left us all like in the dust. I mean, it was just, they were so far ahead of us in every way possible that we were immediately just awestruck. You know, this was where we wanted to get to, and they were already there. Mm-hmm. You know, just professionalism, their musicianship, everything about it, what they were saying, they were exactly what we wanted to be and just weren't smart enough to get there. So from that standpoint, Zao has always been a very special thing to me, and it still would be a very special thing to me, even if there had never been any other connections to the band. You know, if the band had just record like they did and then broke up after that like they did and that was the end of it, I would still hold Zao dear was because of the things that I saw at their shows. From a faith perspective, you know, I saw things at their shows that, you know, it left no doubt where these guys were at, where their hearts were at. It just made my own faith, because these guys were living what we all believe, but they were actually just throwing it out there, and they didn't care what people thought. They, you know, the whole like, are you a Christian band? Are you not a Christian band? It didn't even have to be a question or anything that was talked about, because everybody in the world knew that. There's just no doubt these guys are a faith-based band.
Right.
There's no doubt about it. And so that is like when I think of Zao myself, that's the Zao that I think of. And then once all of my friends started getting involved in it, it was still Zao, but it was something different. And you know, knowing Dan as well as I do, his lyrics are so very personal to him.
Right.
And obviously because of what has happened with Zao and with Zao's fan base, his lyrics resonate with an awful lot of people.
Yes,
they do. I mean, there are just, you know how many people we've talked to over the years that have just said, listen, you know, if it wasn't for, you know, your lyrics, this would have happened to me. And, right. You know, if it wasn't for this song, I would have done this to, you know, and that stuff, so it's that is still valuable. I don't mean to say you know, when it was Sean and the guys before that were basically all the lyrics were straight out of the Bible and were straight faith based. to when Dan came in with Blood and Fire and Liberate. It was still that same heart. That heart was still coming from the same place. It was just, it basically took that faith and made it real.
Okay.
It made it real for a lot of people who, you know, maybe had grown up in the church and had become a little disillusioned with it and just, you know, needed somebody to speak to them where they were. And that is what Dan excelled at more than anything else in the world and still does to this day, is meeting people exactly where they are. You know, it doesn't matter if the person that he's talking to is the worst drug addict, criminal, whatever station they are in life. Dan is able to meet that person exactly where they are. And that goes even beyond faith or anything like that. That's just actually Dan being a real person. And I think that that particular fact alone is what has kept Zayo, I don't want to say in the spotlight, but has kept Zayo going all this time. Because, you know, the music, Scott does a great job writing and you know, everybody does their parts. But what keeps people coming back to Zayo is what Dan is saying.
Right.
So I kind of got off of your question for a minute, but I had to explain the difference between those two parts. So how I look at myself personally, being the last person that claims Christianity for themselves, for their life, is that I feel like I am being true to Zayo's origins while still allowing for Zayo to move forward and do what it needs to do now.
Okay.
So that is how I look at that. I thought we did an okay job of spelling out how Zayo got from point A to point B with the giant documentary.
Right. Yeah.
But you know, I mean, if anybody wants specifics or wants to just chat on that stuff, I'm always available for that.
Sure.
You know, when we do shows, it's kind of funny. One of the other things I think that keeps people coming back to Zayo is that there's a lot of bands that they'll play their show and then they go backstage and that's the end of that. Zayo has never and will never be that band.
What does that mean?
What that means is with the folks, you know, we're out at the merch table. We are, you know, over at the bar. It's an approachable group.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that actually means something, because any band that I would listen to as a fan, I would want that. I would want, you know, myself to, I'd be way more into a band that was approachable and that was accessible than I would the alternative.
Definitely.
So.
Yeah. And how many bands have you been around? And I mean, in the experience, let's give credit where it's due. With being in Zayo and being around as long as you have, how many bands have you seen that are in much less of a position? Not trying to compare like less than Zayo, but how many people have you seen that are in less of a position that really act a little bigger than their britches?
Mm-hmm.
Really sound like a 41-year-old there, don't I? But
yeah, that's bad.
All right. Is it worse than the joke before?
No, it's I get where you're going.
You follow what I'm saying? Like, how many people were you just like, oh my God, what a douche. Like you're totally like, you think you're coming across a certain way and you're actually just hurting like yourself. Like, do you ever feel like, oh, if I could just help that kid along, if I could help that less experienced person along and just try to explain to him, like, you're just coming across like a dick. You should really just go out and, you know, the key to social media is being social.
Like, yeah.
Go out and be one of the crowd and go high five people and run around a pit once or twice with folks and like have fun with them instead of being like this unapproachable doucher that,
right.
that has not earned it, you know?
It's like the bands that I was talking about, like, say like a Jawbox of Fugazi. I mean, these are people that you can walk up to and you can talk to, and the key to them is that they remember exactly where they came from. No matter how big those people would ever get, they remember exactly where they came from. You know, the famous story with Fugazi is once they, you know, I think it was maybe in on the Killtaker, they had really started to like move up the college charts. And I mean, they were really, you know, probably at their height size wise. And Ahmet Erdogan, the founder of Atlantic Records, grabbed them backstage and just said, you know, I'll give you whatever you want. And they, of course, you know, famously turned it down. You know, those are the bands that I have always wanted to be and wanted to be around. And it all comes down to the bands that remember where they came from.
Right.
And you know, I don't mean to say that I'm talking down on this band, but there's a band that we did a tour called the Take Action Tour, okay. which I think still happens each year. I'm not sure, but the year that we did that, it was like Dillinger Escape Plan, Poison the Well, and the opening band was a brand new band called Avenged Sevenfold.
Okay.
And I remember they were very, very young. And I just remember thinking like, oh man, you know, these guys, man, they've got some insane talent. And you know, they seem like good guys, but the tour, it was very apparent that there was some kind of a disconnect where they began to believe the hype and began to forget where they came from.
Okay.
And kind of started to do like the, you know, the Motley Crue, let's misbehave and see if anybody notices thing. Mm. You know, obviously that's doesn't really line up with where I'm at. But at the same time, by doing that, they ended up being probably the biggest band in that genre of music for a good long while.
Sure.
So, it you know, stuff like that, it's like, well, you know, Jawbox never, you know, quote unquote, made it as far as if you're talking about like, you know, can we survive on music and you know, never have to work again a day in our lives. That didn't happen. Avenged Sevenfold, it did. And, you know, one, who's right, who's wrong, I don't know.
Okay, but, fair enough. Yeah. Not your place to go after the person and tell them to not do what they're doing. Because
no, absolutely not. It's not the way that I would do it, but obviously it works. So
right. Excuse me. You're so friggin' boring.
You're falling asleep on me on the podcast. I don't even know what to say to that.
It's past my bedtime, man.
I guess you got to come up with more juicy stuff, I guess. I don't know.
I don't have to come up with juicy stuff. You do. It's your podcast.
I have to come up with juicy stuff. Okay.
Yeah, you're the guest, man. How about some crazy tour stories? No. Don't answer that. That's a shitty
crazy
podcast.
Tour stories.
Don't
yeah,
answer that. That's a shitty podcast question.
The tell-all book someday. You know, and that's when I get to the point where I don't care about any of my friends and I hate them all, then I'll put out the you know.
Hi, yeah.
Right now, I still like everybody.
Hi, Marty. Travis from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I have a quick question. If you were to write a tell-all book, what would the title be and why?
What would the title be? Wow. Don't know. I never thought of that.
No, that's
probably
another shitty podcast question.
Yeah. The title, the working title would be Name Dropping. So
fair enough.
That would be it. That'd be a good working title.
It's actually really funny.
So, yeah.
So, all right, man. So Young Fox is coming out mid-January.
Yes, sir. We will even come out and play the Lehigh Valley.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. We will come out and play it once that record is out. You pick the venue, and we'll be there.
Can my band open?
Absolutely.
Okay. I have to get a band together now.
Yeah. You should do that.
I'll figure something out.
Come on, you and Seth could cook something up in a couple of minutes, you know.
Totally. Just jam along and figure something out. Cool, man. Yeah, you guys have a place to stay when you come out here. All right, Mr. Marty, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate you talking. And
well, I appreciate you having me on. Always a pleasure to talk to you. I'll talk to you on air, off air, whatever you want.
Stay in touch.
Absolutely. Let's do that.
It's okay. Marty, I love you. Thanks for coming on the show, bro.
Love you, man. Thank you so much.
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.